O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Beloved Jesus Christ, Blessed Master,
Dearest Mother,
Saints and sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness. Writing by Swami Ram Dass from the Vision magazine, entitled Faith and Surrender. What is faith? Unquestioning surrender to God's will is faith. Whatever happens is attributed to the workings of God. God is taken as a great, good, and kind. He is the sole dispenser of all things. Since all events, changes, and movements proceed from a heart ever filled with goodness, love, and mercy, there is nothing to grumble at, nothing to find fault with, nothing to grieve over, nothing to be anxious about, and nothing to be afraid of. All is His doing. He works always for harmony and joy. So in the heart of all things and happenings, it is He who exists and is at work. When this faith is ours, God becomes our never-failing companion, guide, and friend, and we do all actions by His will, i.e., by His promptings. He is in us and everywhere about us. All doubts and fears now vanish away, and we attain a state of freedom, which is itself absolute peace and bliss. Behold, Ram's will alone is supreme. Bend and bow to that will. Come what may, it is Ram who does all, and He does all for good. For Ram is kind, Ram is love, Ram means well always. To maintain equilibrium of mind, the sovereign remedy is to submit calmly to the will and workings of God, who guides and controls the destinies of the universe. Never lose your equilibrium under any stress of external circumstances. They come and go like clouds in the breeze. Stand firm on the rock of your unchanging and immortal existence. When the mind is in tune with God, external conditions, however unfavorable, do not affect us. Difficult situations, disappointments, and clashes come to all alike in a greater or lesser degree. Great is he, or she, who remains calm and serene in all circumstances. This attainment is possible only when the mind is made to dwell in the divine and all actions are dedicated to him. Just as an unshaped stone can be fashioned into a beautiful image worthy of adoration and worship, only after it has received many a stroke from the chisel, so also a distorted and inharmonious life has to pass through many a trial, suffering, and tribulation before a great change could come over it, before the life of ignorance could be transmuted into a life of immortal splendor and joy, fit to be revered and adored. Don't ruminate over the past. All that has happened in the past has been for good. So no thought need be taken of it. Have no thought or anxiety about the future. What is to happen does come to pass in spite of yourself. Be prepared to stay in any and every condition calmly and coolly.
No worry or anxiety can change the course of things as ordained. And in the present, think only of Ram and perform all actions as offering to him. What a tremendous sentiment if we can embody this and make it our own. It is life-changing. It is a personal relationship with God that makes you know that every element of your life, however your mind chooses to judge it, is according to the divine will. And divine will is always working out towards ultimate perfection. Whatever the appearances of things, we cannot tell how things will work in our favor. We only know that they will. And so, in your own life, choose to adopt this. Do not be one of those who listens to these words and then goes out and immediately begins to worry, begins to fret, begins to think of everything that is wrong or has gone wrong or perhaps will go wrong in the future. This is a fundamental change in your nature. And when it comes, you will know that you have succeeded because you will feel that peace and that joy and that freedom that is with you always. We've just taken a journey that has taken us down to California and return. And while we were on this journey, we had the great fortune of meeting a wonderful devotee of Anandamoyi Mas. She goes by the name of Shraddha. She lives down in Florence, Oregon. And she's a delightful soul. She's 82 years old, full of spirit, full of life, full of love for Ma, whom she calls Mother. And I thought I would read to you something from a book that she gave to us. It's a book that she wrote, In Her Perfect Love, and it's about her experiences with Anandamoyi Ma. And while we were there, I asked her, how did you come to know about Anandamoyi Ma being so distant in India? And she said, and described this dream about what she wrote here. In January or February of 1960, soon after my 30th birthday, I had a dream which would lead me in a wondrous journey beyond the shores of a small world in which I slept. And the superconscious dream goes like this. It was the most perfect of spring days. A soft breeze moved through the trees as the sun revealed the many colors hiding in the green leaves. Flowers of every hue were scattered across the verdant hilltop. Gently the birds sang to the earth. I was among people who were standing upon the grass in small groups and speaking quietly as we waited in anticipation. I could feel the joy of the day celebrating in all of my being. To my right, I could see an open car approaching. It slowly moved past me and stopped when it was on my left, with the front facing away from me. I could see a lady in the left rear seat, whose back was toward me. She had long, dark hair and was dressed all in white. As I gazed at her, she slowly turned her head left, and as she turned, everything began to still. The people quit talking. The birds stopped chirping. Even the breeze was still. There is no movement except hers. She was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen. She turned until she was facing me, and from the infinite depths of her exquisite eyes, she looked into my eyes and entered my soul. Nothing else existed but she, who was my love. In ecstasy, she revealed all things to me, and I saw that everything is perfect. In complete awe, I could only murmur in prayer and adoration, "Oh my God." Upon awakening, I told my husband of this dream, which was like no dream I had ever known in its clarity and reality. Even the colors were more vivid than in my waking life. I had no idea who the beautiful lady was, but I would never forget her or those eyes.
The experience which he had given to me was far beyond the grasp of my mind. I was unable to recall all the things that she had revealed to me. Only the experience had happened, and that everything is already perfect. I knew that it was a mystical experience. But did the beautiful lady really exist somewhere? She went on then to describe how she met a woman, a young woman, who was giving away some books. And in one of those books was about Ma and was a picture of Ma. And when she saw the picture of Ma, it seemed to her that the person that was in the picture was the same as she saw in her dream. It seemed, as she told this story to me, that there is some little doubt in her mind at the time that it was Ma, but she was quite sure that it was. On one of her later trips, she took a total of 7 trips to India to be with Ma. And on one of those later trips, a car with an open top pulled up exactly as it said in her dream. Ma was turned away and then turned to her left and saw Shraddha standing there. And it was there that was full confirmation, yes indeed, that it was Ma who had come to her in this dream. It's a wonderful experience. It's a life-changing experience. And it's one that comes to devotees when the time is right. Something awakens inside of us. It can be a meeting, it can be a touch, it can be a mystical experience. But it's something that you know when you touch it and you feel it. There is something universal about these experiences that we have in God. I have said before that when a child cries or laughs, that child can be anywhere in the world. And if you hear that laughter, you would know exactly what that means, whether that child were in Africa or Europe or Asia or North America or South America or Australia, wouldn't make any difference. And also, if a mother, for instance, were to lose a child and her deep grief gave out into a cry and a wail, you would not need an interpreter to know what that mother was experiencing. It's a universal language. And in the same way, when you hear of somebody's true mystical experience, it is universal. It is such a false notion that has taken hold of so many religions. It is my religion and no other. Or even my particular religion within a religion and no other. And all else are heathens and people to not be trusted. It will be a wonderful world when this humanity wakes up to the fact that this is a universal experience. What a simple concept and how true. And yet how much trouble it makes to pit one religion against another or one aspect of a religion against all the others. The Protestant movement started out as something against the Catholic Church, and then it split into hundreds and hundreds of different small movements, each one claiming their own rightness and everybody else's wrongness in many situations. And today there are still wars that take place over religious differences. Religion should not be something that separates us one from another, but it should be something that ties all humanity together in one great family with one God, one religion. And that is a religion of truth, a religion of life, a religion that awakens consciousness and makes one know that that one is part and parcel of the deepest, most profound truth and light and love that has ever been known in this world. What a travesty it is to have one person pitted against another. It is not that you have to learn the worship of every religion, or the words, or the customs, but we can take delight when we see the variations, the different words, the different customs that accompany a true spiritual awakening. There are people of orthodox minds in every religion, those who cling to a kind of dogma. And it suits their purpose to hate. It suits their purpose to be separated one from another.
but it is not, nor has it ever been, a part of what God's being really is. For God is universal, and as Papa mentioned here, when we have total and complete faith that it is God's will alone that is operating in this world, then we will be transformed, and we will recognize that transformation wherever it exists, even as you would recognize the laughter of a child or the grief of a mother. It makes me tremendously sad to see the separation that keeps us in such a state of dis-ease. Why do we not wake up? Why do we not, as humanity as a whole, come into a new era, a new being, wherein we recognize that there can be no self-interest that does not incorporate the interest of the whole, that there is no child, that there is no person, no matter how low they may have sunk into life, that can be totally and wholly separate from ourselves? It is not possible. It is an interesting experience when you begin to awaken in God because you see yourself in so many. In my own experience, when I look out upon this world and I see those of varying states of consciousness, I can feel myself seeing and feeling and operating through each one of those individuals. And it would be intolerable to be able to do if it were not connected to God consciousness, because in God consciousness, you have a surpassing peace that goes beyond understanding, that goes beyond the individual's experience. It does not weigh you down. In the counseling field, there are many who operate within the counseling field, and if they meet with somebody who's in a very depressed state or having a great deal of difficulty, the individual counselor feels it keenly afterwards. The change that comes over you is that is from a human standpoint, that it can drag you down, that it can make you feel burned out. But when you feel connected with God, you feel all the things that normally were felt, but now you feel it with this added ingredient, and that is God consciousness is with you. To help change your perspective on this world, anytime, for instance, it's a wonderful practice to do. Anytime that you hear the news, or listen to the news, or see the news on TV, let your heart go out to all those situations. Usually it's bad news, isn't it? That's what the news specializes in, bad news. They don't do a good job of reporting good news. So when you hear the bad news, let your heart go out to it as God's heart goes out to it. Your love and compassion extend out to those who are in need of it. And that way you become a blessing. If you become depressed by the news, if you become obsessed by what is bad and negative and wrong with this world, you see, you are not being taken into Papa's vision. Papa's vision and knowledge and what Shraddha described here, that the world is perfect, just as it is, just as it is. It is something that goes beyond human reason. And yet, when you touch the fabric of God, of the divine consciousness, you know that it is true. It is perfect because God is perfect. And God is in charge of absolutely everything that is. And the only reason we live in a state of sorrow and a state of grief is because we are separated from the divine consciousness. Change that one fact, and your entire perspective of this world changes. You look back then on your past life and lives and all the difficulties, and when you look at it from a human consciousness, things that you have gone through in previous times can really weigh you down. They can still hold an emotional charge. But when you raise your consciousness up into divine consciousness, now you look back on the past and you see how everything worked to get you to where you are now, your oneness with God. And you see it now as perfect, even though you didn't see it at the time as perfect. And it removes from you all the emotional charge that once weighed you down, that made you sad, that made you angry, that made you happy even. Now you don't see it in the same perspective. You see it from divine perspective, and that changes everything. When we met Shraddha, she has a lovely little home that's in a trailer park area, and each one has a separated space by the trees, and the trees are beautiful. And she has a little slide out in our mobile home there. And in the slide out, which is a little area off her bedroom, she has her puja room set up. And there she has her seat, and she has a picture of Ma and many pictures of other saints all around. In fact, they're spread all the way through her home. And you look into this little puja, this little meditation room, and you can feel the divine vibrancy that's there. Each one of us needs to create a little haven within our home. It's wonderful to think about making your home a temple, and a temple within your temple home, a spiritual center from your home, from which everything else disappears. It can be a corner of a room. It can be some place that you have dedicated, but make it a place of dedication where that is all that happens in that place, if you have the capacity within your home to do so. And when you do that, it builds a spiritual vibrancy. And you go in. Sometimes you're not always aware of the spiritual vibration that is contained within you. Sometimes you're more mindful of how your mind wanders and different difficulties that come up to you. And yet, when you dedicate a space like that, and it is your spiritual practice that begins to surcharge that area with a spiritual vibrancy. And as you do so, and you keep it sacrosanct there, it's only for that purpose, that begins to build a vibration, and from that spiritual center within your home, that radiance goes out and begins to fill your whole home. And from that, it goes out and it fills the community in which you live. And it goes out and out and out until it pervades this entire world. You don't realize what a spiritual powerhouse you are, particularly when you are overly mindful of your human limitations. But the truth is, God dwells inside of you. And when you accept absolutely everything that is coming from God, then you begin to change the associations where before something happens to you during the day and you take it as something good or something bad. Now you take it as God's will. And it doesn't affect you in the same way. It's like Krishna describing the enameled lotus leaf and the floating in the water. And a droplet of water falls on that enameled leaf and it just glides off like it has Teflon coating on top of it. That's the way that worldly occurrences happen to you. And it changes you. It deeply changes you. And you think, well, everything in my life doesn't happen perfectly, and I don't do everything perfectly, so how can I accept everything as coming from God? But that's an ego trap. That keeps you encased and imprisoned by the ego, you see. It's a simple project. You just start affirming that every single thing that happens to you is happening according to God's will. And this is what makes the change possible. When we were on this trip, we also went to the redwoods. And the redwoods, this particular set, is an area of trees that have never been cut. So it's called an old growth area. And when we were there, we had a meditation service. There was many devotees who were there. And as we sat in this grove of red trees, these spiraling hundreds of feet above us, and being a canopy of leaves all around us. And it made me think of the great cathedrals and how they have these columns that go up and then these flying buttresses and arches that go overhead. And how really these tremendous cathedrals are a reflection of what nature has designed as these trees went up like these columns and then arched over the top of us, and how magnificent this natural cathedral was. And it inspired this poem that I wrote
on that morning, and I entitled it Until. Chant God's holy name until all names resonate His glory. Visit stone temples in pilgrimage until you unlock its inner heart. Then the world, nay, this universe, becomes your sacred temple. Seek purity in lofty giants until the same pure essence is awakened in you. Let your heart melt in holding a babe until sweet innocence is resurrected in your soul. Become merged in ocean sunset grandeur until infinite expanse finds a gateway within you. The wonders and secrets you seek in this world are but reflections of your true self. Go ahead, seek the beauty of life in its reflected images. But remember always, until you find the beautiful one within, your search will be incomplete, for reality cannot be permanently found in its reflected images. And this is the truth. Sitting here this morning and as we were chanting, I just felt such ecstasy within my soul. And I thought, what words can emanate from that inner ecstasy? It felt like a vain pursuit. When you feel God within you, your world transforms. You are no longer in a mundane world, but a spiritual world. You're taken on such a journey. We were speaking earlier this morning about spiritual experiences that transforms your vision until you see this world as an astral world, as a causal world, as a spiritual world, because you see, hidden behind this physical world of the senses, the architect has already designed an astral world that preceded this physical world. And before the astral world came into being, the causal world is there already as the architect's plans. And before that was the pure spiritual being. So sometimes we think that we have to go someplace in order to experience the astral or the causal or the spiritual. But you see, it's all right here. Right here in this physical world is the astral, is the causal, is the spiritual. But who has the eyes to see it and the ears to hear it? But when this great awakening happens within you, then you begin to see this world through those eyes. I remember one of my earliest experiences in this, and I was walking down a road. It was a beautiful boulevard with magnificent trees, and it was a beautiful spring-like day. And suddenly my vision changed, and I no longer saw it as a physical reality, but I saw the immense beauty of an astral world. It looked very much like the physical world, but it took on such splendor, such color as I'd never seen before, such clarity of detail. I knew that I was not seeing it in ordinary ways. And indeed, when my consciousness, so to speak, came back and into this physical realm, I recognized immediately the vast difference. And this is a glimpse into the astral creation that has become this physical creation. Another time, my earliest experiences in the causal realm, and I was walking on a path in the woods. And I saw there, as my vision began to change, and it was not a world of energy and color, but as pure idea, the trees, the rocks, the path, everything that was within the arena of my vision all transformed into a magnificent and very subtle, very beautiful causal realm. These things are difficult to describe, but they are a reality. And as you begin to see this world with new eyes, then you begin to appreciate what a magnificent and perfect world we live in. And when you begin to see this world as a pure spiritual expression, you are then in a sea of bliss. You're in a sea of love. You're in a sea of light. Now, you can still see the imagery of this world. You can still operate in this world.
but your heart is opened, your soul is opened to the complete expression of divine consciousness on every single level. You're aware along your spine that every one of the sub-dynamo stations there, power stations, are all awake. They're all ready. They're all alive. And they're vibrating with the spiritual consciousness and the life force that comes purely from God consciousness. It operates through this body, and through this body then you see this world as a complete expression of God. You see, you can accept mentally the words that this world is God, as Papa so beautifully articulates, and as Shraddha articulated here from her superconscious dream, knowing that it is already perfect. It is perfect. You can accept that as a mental concept, but it is far different when you experience it as a spiritual truth. And it is far different from that when you are able to live in that truth continuously. Now, we need not become discouraged because we haven't experienced that truth as of yet. You may say, well, I've been on this spiritual path for so long. Why are the results not there? And the reason is because you have not applied yourself totally and completely. You are of divided minds. A part of you wants to go to God, and a part of you is detracted and wants to stay away. And you may think to yourself, but that's not true. There's no part of me that doesn't want to be with God. I want to be with God with all of my heart. And yet, all you have to do is observe your thoughts and your desire nature and your emotions. And you will see that as there are different sensations from the body, different emotions, different ideas that float through, many of them you ignore. And they don't grab hold of you. And then one will. And you attach yourself to it, you see. And when you attach yourself to it, it draws your mind down. And then you become trapped in the world of senses and the world of the ego. To completely free yourself, you must be completely pure in mind. To become completely pure in mind, you must have the grace of God, but you also must give it your all. You must make the firm determination that nothing else matters to you as much as God consciousness matters to you. That has to be the number one and supreme reality. The Old Testament uses some kind of references to God and descriptions that aren't particularly useful. It's called being in fear of God. But when you understand fear as meaning awe, then you can understand more correctly, because it is systemic part of the experience that when you are touched by divine experience, you automatically feel a kind of awe with God. We should entertain no idea of separation whatsoever. It is all false notion. It really is. And when we ascribe every single thing that we experience, even if you experience delusion, even if you experience fear, even if you experience desire nature, and you directly ascribe that to God, and then you repeat God's different aspects, that He is all powerful, all love, all joy, and you make that direct connection with God, God will render whatever delusive power is trying to get hold of your mind neutral. And when that desire nature is neutralized, that attachment is neutralized, then you are free. So keeping your mind on God and putting your God first, that's another Old Testament kind of reference, is that our God is a jealous God. God is not jealous. However, it's describing a principle. And that is, if you don't put God first, your mind will become attached to the things of this world and the things of the ego. And as a result of that, you will be drawn away from God. God does not sentence you and send you away. We do that to ourselves. And so when you put God first, then everything else is taken care of, you see. Because God is the most magnificent thing you can possibly imagine.
most beautiful, most wonderful. And it's amazing to think that in this one world, there are currently 6 or 7 billion people. I don't know who's counting or if they keep it up every single day. But there are people who think about that, and that's what they say. And how can God be consciously aware of every single person and care about and love every single person? It's part of his creation, and that is why God is God, because he can do that. Now, not only just the people of this earth, but of all this wide, wide world and universe of creation. God is magnificent. We say that God is infinite, but we really can't comprehend what that means until you begin to touch the fabric of that which is God. And then you are transformed, and then you begin to understand. I remember visiting a great saint in India, and part of my experience at saint is as there were like waves that began to undulate through the concrete surface that I was sitting on. And I felt these waves going underneath me, just like in sitting on an ocean, sitting on water, and these waves came up. And then suddenly, my consciousness was lifted up, and I was in touch with everyone's mind who was there. And I could feel them, and I could feel their thoughts. And there, this place held 10,000 people. And there was a couple that were in the back who were having a conversation. I knew exactly what they were talking about. And I thought, this is how this saint is able to be a part of so many different people's lives. And then I was lifted up into a realm that was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And it was a wonderful experience. And so when your consciousness is attuned in this way, you see, all information is available to you. Now, when you exist in human consciousness, it's God's great journey then. And the human consciousness is attuned to divine consciousness, and you're completely like a little child in the back seat of the car with the parents driving you someplace. The child is completely content to be in the back seat, not knowing where it's going or how long it's going to take or anything else. Just completely content to be there. Wouldn't know how to drive the car and wouldn't know where to go, even if it had that responsibility, and it doesn't. And being God's child, you can be completely content to be in the child carrier, being God's child, allowing him to drive, allowing him to make the decisions, allowing him to guide you and direct you and accepting him as your total and complete and loving guide. This world is perfect, no matter what your human mind tells you, because when you touch that hem, that fabric of God's being, then you are transformed into perfection yourself. And you feel the power of that perfection. And it makes you free. I wish with all my heart that you could experience the perfection that I feel within me. And it's God's perfection. And it is so beautiful and so wonderful. And it is universal. It expands out and goes all over this vast creation. This is not a thing of ego. There is nothing inside of me that I would say I am perfect. and yet perfection exists within me. Why? Because God exists within me. And I am conscious of that God within me. And with all my heart, I would wish that for you, that you know it, that you live it, that you become that, and that you're ever, ever living in it, and become a broadcasting station of divine love and light and joy, so that this world will be transformed. It will come sooner rather than later into the kingdom of heaven that it was meant to be from the beginning. That wars and strife and crime will become something of a faded past. That humanity will look upon and find incomprehensible how one individual could think of themselves and their needs as separate from everyone else's.